Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your podcast host for today, and we have got a great episode today. You know why? Today is our 100th episode and I'm so excited. But you know what's really, really good too? Today I've got an Aussie on. Like, I have so many lovely Americans and it's great to meet them. But I've also got an Aussie on for the 100th show and I thought that was really, really good. And I really shouldn't call her an Aussie. I mean, she's an Australian. You've got to say it right. And with a beautiful name like Virginia Baker-Wolf, Aussie just doesn't match. I'm definitely an Australian. It's so exciting. So do all the things we need to do, like, share, subscribe to the podcast to get all that information, because today we're talking about money. And the other synchronicity that goes with all this is that, yeah, this is a spot that I could do with a little bit of work on as well. So I'm really looking forward to having Virginia on to explain all about those money mindsets and how we can bust through them. So welcome on to the Art of Intuition, Virginia.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan Jane.
And she's got a lovely voice, hasn't she? So she's definitely not an Aussie, definitely an Australian. So Virginia, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this money mindset, how we got into this money coaching area.
Okay, so I started coaching nearly 20 years ago. I was in a job that I really loathed and detested. So I started looking around for what else I could do. And I saw an ad for coach training. And so I went along and I did that training. And then I spent many years working as a coach, organizational coach, executive coach, and in around 2015, we had some things happen financially, my husband and I, and I became very aware of the fact that I really didn't know anything about money, and I looked around to get some help with that, and I did a few money courses. But they didn't speak to what I was feeling. So I just started to do a whole lot of research about women and money. And it turns out that it's a huge topic. And then I decided, like, because I'm a coach, then I decided to look around for what training there was to do with money coaching. And I found the California Institute of Money Coaching, run by a lady by the name of Deborah Price. So I did Deborah's course, and this was not a weekend course. This was like a 9-month course. And so it's just gone from there. And then I decided to write some courses, because my background is that I was a university lecturer in Spanish. So I had a tremendous, lecturer in Spanish and also an English as a second language teacher. So I had many, 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 many years' experience as a teacher and facilitator. So then I decided I'd write a course about money for the women like me who needed something different from what's out there. So that's what I did.
And I really, really relate to that, because I was reading a little bit about your bio and everything else, and what really related to me, and it will be different for the younger women. They'll still have their money issues, but in a different context. But for the older women, when I was growing up and in Australia, when I was a young mum and everything else, my husband at one stage was on unemployment. And unemployment in Australia only ever paid the male. The female never got any money. Nowadays, females get money in a relationship like that because they get child welfare or child care allowances. But in my days, we didn't. So I had to actually almost beg for money from my husband because I never, ever got any money. I had three children under the age of three and I had no way of working. And I used to at one stage have to write out my shopping list. He would check it, work out how much it was going to cost and then give me that money so I could never, ever spend any more or do anything else with it. So it was a lot of financial abuse in that sort of situation. And when I was reading through your bio and looking at some of your things, I thought to myself, you really understand it. You understand that mindset that we have at such an early age and how we take that through for the rest of our lives. And that's what really intrigued me is the fact that you are really focusing on women and their money mindset. So that was a big spiel and I didn't actually ask you a question. So yes, I'd love to know a little bit more about why it's different with women than it is with men as far as our money mindset goes.
Okay. Well, it's different with women, as in so many cases. The money thing is different for women for a number of reasons. One of the main reasons is, well, first of all, there's the gender pay gap, which is an absolute disgrace. So there's that. Then we have the fact that women are mothers, or not all women, of course, but the majority of women do have a family. And there are still a lot of women who would like to be at home with their babies. I was one of them. I took 6 months maternity leave, and when I got to the 6 months, I said, well, there's no way I can leave my baby. So because of this, women end up with much less superannuation and less retirement savings than men do. So you've got the gender pay gap. You've got motherhood, that even though motherhood is extremely joyous, often can also be difficult. But it just throws in another thing that we need to consider. Then we have gender stereotyping, and by that I mean, Cinderella. So women are still being socialized into gender stereotypes that no longer serve us. It doesn't serve us to live like Cinderella. And we've all been taught that very story from a very young age. And then you have the social construct. So you've got the construct of patriarchy. And money in particular is geared to the men. And if you have a look around, just on Google, if you have a look around and you put in the search term money, everything that comes up is about men. So women don't see themselves represented in financial institutions. So it's a bit like we're second-rate citizens. And we also have, there are also all sorts of issues about safety and financial abuse. And I could go on and on. There are many, many ways that women face a different situation to men. And what we need to do is to stand up and talk about it. So, it's very interesting to look at the images that we see day in and day out. And if you look, for example, if we take Indigenous people, I recently saw an advertisement on the television about children and, we are the world, we are one, we are Australians. And there were various children from various backgrounds. And by that, I mean dark-skinned children, Indigenous children, Asian children, a whole load of a mixed type, so that basically any child in the community could see themselves in that picture. Now, it's only 10 years ago that you would never have seen that. You would never see an Indigenous child in an ad in Australia. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit like what Grace Tame said yesterday, the day before, on Wednesday, where she says that basically we're 50 years behind where we should be. And in Australia, that is absolutely the same for money. So before 1970, women could not have a credit card without their husband's permission. They could not get a mortgage without being guaranteed by a man. They couldn't get a personal loan unless it was guaranteed by a man. Now, 1970, for the young ones, 1970 will seem like an eternity ago. But I've got to tell you, 50 years goes by in a real flash. Mm. And given that we did those things at the beginning of 1970 and we haven't really done very much in between, is a really serious issue.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we've got all these society aspects around us. So we've got this like very almost oppressive attitude around us sometimes in that context. So how do we look at our mindset? How can we personalize that to help us to go forward? So what are the things that we need to start looking at and start doing to break through those money mindsets, so those negative money mindsets or blocks?
Well, I think that the very first thing to do is to normalize our situation. And by that I mean, you know, when I looked at this work in 2015, I felt like I was the only one. I felt like everybody else seems to be okay. There must be something wrong with me. I mean, you know, I'm a very competent, intelligent woman. Why can't I do the money thing? And why am I different to all the other women? And I felt like a bit of a, you know, the odd one out. But when I started to do the research, the reading, and the talking with people, I discovered that, in fact, a great majority of women feel the same way that I felt. But we don't talk about it, so we're not very aware of it. One of the first things that we need to start doing is to talk about money. And, it, you know, it goes hand in hand with talking about domestic violence or any kind of sexual gender type violence. It goes hand in hand. And it really is. Money for women is as important as the right to vote.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And before I go any further too, if you want to connect with Virginia Baker Wolf, it's the on her Facebook link, it's themoneyproject.vbw. And VBW is obviously Virginia Baker Wolf. Baker Wolf, yeah. I'll say that a couple of times. So I understand that. So that's the first step. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought. The first step was being normalizing, wasn't it?
Normalizing. So yeah. The first thing is to have a lot of compassion for ourselves, with the recognition that we were raised with stories like Cinderella, which no longer serve us. So a lot of very bright, intelligent, resourceful women on good salaries have these same problems. But it's not okay to have these problems. So because it's not okay and there's a lot of shame around it, we don't talk about it. So if it's the same as going into any group with women and discussing an issue that pertains to all of us and what the problems are and how we can deal with them. So the first thing women need to do is normalize the fact that they do feel some very strong negative issues about money. And the first thing to do is to know that they're not the odd one out. They're in fact part of a big tribe. They are the majority. So the first thing is recognition and normalization of how we feel. Instead of beating ourselves up, it's like soothing ourselves and saying, there. We don't need to worry about this. We're going to get on board and we're going to do something about it.
Yeah. Okay. So the first part is that it's getting an understanding where you're at this stage, isn't it, really? But I just want to clarify, when you're talking about like the Cinderella syndrome or whatever you want to call it, it's about just for people that are not sure where you're going with that one. It's more about I know when I remember it was like, oh, who are you going to marry? I'm going to marry a knight in shining armor and he's going to come and take me away on his beautiful white steed. And it's like, and I'm going to live happily ever after. I put all my power into the male or the person that was going to save me from this debt that I'm in or from this money woes that I am in. And that's that Cinderella complex or that Cinderella syndrome where we're always looking for somebody external to bail us out. And that's what we've got to stop doing. And that's what we've been taught, like you say, as young children, you know, that this is going to happen for us. So being aware of where we're at, what we're doing, where it is, and so we've got our base data almost. Where do we go to from there, Virginia? God, this is going to be a long session for me.
Once you accept that a lot of women have the same problems as you, the next thing to do is to become very curious. Very curious. And that then means looking at the money story that you have had most likely since you were a child of five. And that five-year-old little girl's money story is most likely no longer relevant, but that's what's been hardwired into us. So the first thing is to become curious about what that small child felt about money, and do those attitudes of that five-year-old, are they still the same attitudes that you have? So you might have that attitude in a more sophisticated form, but basically, is it the same as what you had as a five-year-old, six-year-old, seven-year-old? So we then need to do two things. We need to start writing a new money story that addresses the money story that we were raised with and the money story that we took on. So we often take on the money story of our mother, father, grandparents. And it's very good to become aware what that story is, because after you become aware, you can do things to shift it. And then the next thing, even at the same time as getting curious, is to simply get curious about money. And by that, I mean buy a book, use Google. So I don't know whether you know, Susan, whether you know this fellow in Australia, but there's an Australian man by the name of Scott Pape, and he wrote a book called The Barefoot Investor.
Oh, yes.
And I recommend this book because it's so down to earth. It's so down to earth, and it's friendly and it's conversational.
Absolutely. And
yeah, and the thing is, the problem with women is that we feel so overwhelmed with anxiety and shame about money. It's a little bit like we like to have our head in the sand and we push the money away because it's like, I don't want to know about that. I know there's an issue and I don't want to know about that. It's too difficult. So becoming aware of your money story will help you with that. And then just doing some money learning. And for the women who say, yes, that's all very well, but I just become very overwhelmed, I would say that's okay. Have compassion for yourself. So there it is, you get overwhelmed. That is absolutely fine. And you're in a tribe of more than 50% of all women. So if you get overwhelmed, or any time you get overwhelmed, in fact, as from me as a coach, what you need to do is break it down into the steps. You can only eat an elephant one steak at a time. So, for example, if you were to go out and buy The Barefoot Investor, do one chapter a week.
And that's exactly what I did.
The other thing,
and that book was so relevant that we handed it to our children. They actually took it on board too. And it doesn't mean they had to follow everything he was saying, but it gave them some structure about how to save money and the best way to do it and the best way to look at your money. So, yeah, The Barefoot Investor was really, really good. Before you go on to any more, what I wanted to also do is let them know that on LinkedIn, you can also connect with Virginia on LinkedIn too. So the little ticker tape is going down the bottom, and it is linkedin.com/in/money-coaching. So you can find Virginia that way too. But what I wanted to quickly go back on to, Virginia, is you were talking about your money story as a five-year-old and how it's the same when you get older, but it's slightly different. I just wanted to give a quick example because I am quite aware of my money thoughts. And as a child of five to, you know, teenagers, I came from a family with eight kids, so I had seven brothers and sisters, and the whole attitude was there's never really enough. You had to work harder and longer to get what you wanted. So by the time I hit high school, I was working three part-time jobs and doing school, and now even today, I'm still working three or four part-time jobs. You know, including doing this podcast, because my attitude is still the same. I'm doing it differently, but I'm still going, I've got to work harder. I've got to work longer. I've got to work more to make that money. And that's my mindset that I need to change. And I just thought if the listeners can get an understanding of how you're referring to a five-year-old compared to an adult now, that's one of the ways that we can look at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was just an example of that one. So then we become aware of our money mindset or our money stories, and as you said, then we can start to adjust them and change them as they go along. So what was the next step?
Well, the next step, so the learning is something that is a constant. So you need to be constantly learning. And as I said, you get overwhelmed, just do one piece at a time. And, of course, you can use Google in the same way as well. Now, after you've got a clear idea of what your money story is, you can go through that money story and ask yourself, what beliefs are governing my thoughts and behaviours? What patterns, what paradigms, what is actually here? And some of that might be quite negative and some of it might be quite anxiety provoking. But you can end up being extremely clear about what your limiting beliefs are. And then what you do with those limiting beliefs is you flip them. You flip them. You know, we have a great deal of self-talk that goes on day in and day out every day, and we need to change that self-talk so that we see ourselves as being more resourceful. So flipping negative beliefs on their head, and by that it's as simple as, for example, you say to yourself, I'm not good with this. Or I'm hopeless with money. And then the question becomes, is that really true? And this is a little bit like cognitive behavioral therapy. So you ask the question, is that really true that I'm hopeless with money? Where is the evidence that shows me that I am hopeless with money? And very, very often it will turn out that there is no evidence for the belief that you're carrying around in your head. So instead of saying, I'm so hopeless with money, we flip it to something else and we say, I am learning to be financially literate, or I am learning to be financially independent. And, you know, learning is a good place to be. Now, of course, after you've become aware of your learnings, then you need to decide what kind of action might you take in your current situation. And, you know, Susan, there are a lot of women out there who are doing exactly what you just said about yourself, that they're working multiple jobs and they have a belief that if they want what they want, they just have to work harder and harder and harder. And that is also a belief that we can flip on its head. And the question becomes, how can I earn more money? Or how can I develop, you know, more money without working harder? What could I do to get that happening? So, for example, as a coach, it's about working one-on-one or working in groups. So as a coach, you can work one-on-one. And I love that work. You know, I love it. But that means that you are tied to the time frame that you can devote to the work. Whereas if you have something else which people are signing up to when you're asleep, that's going to be a better way to bring in extra money. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, but many women these days have what they call side hustles. And I think side hustles are great. And it's just a question of what are you really expert at that you could teach somebody else? And then putting it out there.
Absolutely. And the side hustles are the ones that if you're going to do a side hustle, it's got to be something you love to do. Which is, the podcast is my side hustle. That sort of thing is my side hustle. I love doing that. And so when you love doing something, it doesn't feel like work. So all of a sudden, this particular aspect, which could be a job, like a part-time job, has become a part-time passion. And
yeah,
so
that's exactly right.
So you're looking at it in a different way. Hey, I put so much work and time into it, so I'm not saying I'm not working hard. I'm working very hard. But when I'm working on a passion, it's so much different to working in a job.
That's right. That is exactly right. And, you know, we need to get creative. So, for example, if you're very good at making cheesecakes, there's got to be 300 recipes for cheesecake. So, I mean, you can become the cheesecake queen. There are so many things. You know, if you're a scrapbooker, you can start teaching that. And, I mean, some of this, you know, people will say, well, it costs money to set up a thing like that. It doesn't cost any money to run a cooking course on Facebook.
Absolutely. There's lots of ways around it. Absolutely. I totally agree. It costs nothing to set a lot of this stuff up. And in fact, you know what, Virginia? When I was setting up a lot of my stuff, I didn't have money. I didn't have money at all. So I had to do a lot of my stuff on the cheap. And so I had to learn how to do a lot of the stuff because I didn't have the money to pay somebody. But the benefits of that was I learned so much and I enjoyed that learning, but I also know now that if I want to pay somebody to do a particular job, I know what that job is, I know what it entails, and I know the average cost it will take. I don't get ripped off.
No, that's right.
So you're starting, I've got that knowledge so I can actually go ahead with it. And yeah, it was long, hard slog, but oh my goodness, when it's a passion, you do not feel like it's a long, hard slog.
That's right. Look, since I've launched my courses, my money work, but over the last 2 years, I have learned so much. You know, like to get a program up and running is a lot of work, but then there are all sorts of other things that you need to be able to learn, like, you know, email, you know, the way to collect email, the way to send emails to people. You know, there are design things, you know, doing things, posting things on Facebook and Instagram. There's a lot of learning. And I've got to say that I have come to the belief, when I have a new thing to learn to do with all of this work, I think, well, just sit down and get started because you'll manage, because you always do. So, yeah, the learning is really important and it's extremely good for your brain.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if women are listening to this and they do have young children at home and they feel like they can't get out to work, then there is, again, there is those options. And you may not create a thriving business to start with, but you will create that learning that when the kids are a bit older, you can actually put that into place and maybe recreate something else. So it's all, you know, it's all value, it's all important to us, and it's all allowing us to be, like you say, financially independent. It's allowing us to sort of stand up and say our piece. I did a lot of my learning when I was with my ex-husband, and I wasn't bringing any money in, but I had those snippets of time where I could read a book like The Barefoot Investor. And but I have to tell you this story. Sorry, I've gotten a little bit off track. But I remember reading about The Barefoot Investor and a few other books like that, investment books. I had not a cent to my name, but I remember reading about these investment books. And my daughter and her husband came to me and they said, "Mum, you were talking all about this investment and how to build up wealth and things like that." And I went, "Yeah, yeah." I actually explained it all to them. They went ahead and did it. And within the first 5 years of their marriage, they had like five investment properties and all sorts of things. I had done the learning, explained it to them, and they had got the benefit of it. And now they've learned that way. So even in your learning as a woman at home, as a person there, in your learning, you are then helping so many others around you without even realizing, because you've changed your mindset. I changed my mindset from going, "I've got nothing," to, "I've got brains. You know what? I can learn. I can learn and think differently," and allowed my children to get ahead. And now, you know, since then I've had investment properties and different things like that too. Still like working though, you know.
I have exactly the same story with my daughter. My daughter is, she's just finished a PhD in neuropsychology. And with the Scott Pape thing, when I realised the issues that I had, and then I found out that the majority of women have the same issues, I bought her a copy of Scott Pape's book, The Barefoot Investor, and I gave it to her. And she said, "Well, Mum, you know, I'm not really interested. I don't really have any interest in this whatsoever. I don't care about money. I'm not interested." So I said, "Well, just take the book. Just take the book, and if you get a moment, have a flip through, see if it's something you're interested in." Now, 6 months later, we're sitting at the table, and she and her husband have been living together, and they have been, you know, looking at how could they save to have a home deposit. So we're sitting at dinner one Friday night, and it turns out that they're having a money date. They have a money date every month. Now, the money date is something that comes out of the Barefoot Investor.
Yes.
So I said, "What's with the money date?" And she said to me, "Well, you remember that book you gave me? I started having a look and I decided it was good, Mum, and I decided that we should get, you know, me and Gillard, her husband, we should get on the same page. So we're doing this money date thing."
Yeah. Now,
she said to me at the beginning, "Money is very boring." So I said to her over time, especially after the 6 months when she started doing money dates, that finding money boring is actually a bit of a cop-out. So my daughter will tell you that she's a very serious clinician and academic. And, you know, money is not of a high value spiritually. And so she doesn't want to waste her time on that grubby stuff. Well, then she should stop shopping. She should stop buying any clothes. She should stop going anywhere. If the money's not important, then don't spend any.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is that she is spending way less since she went ahead and she did this thing. So my experience as a mother is exactly the same as yours, Susan. And I would add a note for any young listeners that you might have. I'm talking people in their 20s and 30s. Now, these people think that retirement is a century away. They don't have to worry about any of that yet. And I would urge them to not think like that. I would urge them to think about how quickly time flies by, and if they get started now, they're going to be in a much better position later. And this is especially for women because, as I said at the beginning of our talk, Susan, women end up with at least one third less retirement funds than men do. And this is principally because they've taken time off to be at home with small children, and they don't have the same superannuation levels that men do. And I'm not saying anything negative about the men. I mean, this is the construct we have that we need to start to work with, like we have with so many other issues, you know.
Absolutely. It's not men's fault as such. It's just we need to stand up and be counted as women, and we need to be sufficient. Just to bring in the finances, or not even to bring in the finances to be on the same page as your partner, but to feel like you're on the same page, just to feel you're bringing in the same quality and same concerns. I mean, let's face it, if you had to pay for raising a child and everything else, it's just ridiculous. The price of that would be ridiculous, especially paying somebody to babysit and all the rest. So yeah, there's lots of challenges there that women have about that, but we can start changing them once we are aware. So I'm just going to reiterate what you were saying. Once we're aware of the situation we're in, once we get to know our own personal money story, then we need to start to look at educating ourselves about it and how we can flip that story by positive affirmations, or really being really, really mindful of those negative thoughts that we have and flipping those. And then from there, like you say, we need to educate ourselves, and we don't have to know it all, and we don't have to have money to educate ourselves. There's a lot of stuff out there that doesn't cost a lot, or it's free. But there's one thing I want to just bring forward too, Virginia, while we're talking, is that you've got an ebook, and it is at themoneyproject.net, and it's called Wealth Mindset Ebook Opt-In. Now, this ebook is all about understanding the wealth, but it's also, you said, it's also a journal as well, like a workbook that you can work with.
Well, you get two items. You get two items. One is the ebook and one is the workbook. So yes, you get some jobs to do.
Right. Okay. So the ebook runs you through it, and then you've got your workbook to fill it out and to work with it from that way. So there's plenty of stuff out there that people can use if they're getting stuck too. They've got money coaches like Virginia that you can connect with as well. So you do online coaching as well, Virginia?
Yeah, I do.
And what does that entail? What do we look at when we're talking about online coaching or coaching for money?
Well, it starts with covering some of the steps that we've already talked about today. So the first really important thing is to diagnose your situation, and that includes doing the money story and the money biography. So the money biography is a biography of your life in relation to money. So at 5 years of age, they gave my brother 20 cents more pocket money than me. Now, that won't seem very important to an adult, but to that child, it's very important that the boy gets offered more money, and why does she not get the same? So we have to clear the past baggage and history. So you get a whole load of questions so that you can drill down. And at the same time, there's a three-step circuit breaker, because women find this work so anxiety-producing and triggering that we have to have some techniques to soothe ourselves so that we can keep doing the work. And included in that three-step circuit breaker are expressive writing, what you can do with your vision and your breathing to calm yourself, and what you can do with the emotional freedom technique. And then we go on to the money archetype that you have. So we all have a money archetype. There's a quiz on my website for this. We all have a money personality, and you know, some of them are more advanced than others, but you just have to start where you are with compassion. And when you get your results for your archetype, it will tell you how you can manage that archetype so that you can achieve more. You know, it strategizes, gives you some strategies of what you can do with your archetype in line with moving towards the most positive archetype, which is the magician.
Okay, cool. So, that sounds really interesting too. So that's really hooking into the old intuition side. Woohoo!
Yep. We also do. There's also a quiz on values. There's a quiz on values, and then there's an ebook that goes with the quiz on values, because if you are living in accordance with your values, you will be a much happier, more fulfilled, more satisfied self. And this has been proven many, many times. And so we go through an exercise of how you can bring your values into your life. And to do that, we often need, you know, we need to take conscious control and decide what kind of actions we need to take. But the values work is very, very significant. And for example, one of the things I ask people to do is how could you express that value in your life? What would you need to do to express that value? Well, it might be to take a class in something, might be to volunteer to do something with other people. There are many, many examples of what you can do. Look, for me, beauty is a core value, beauty and creativity, and I'm an artist. I paint. And when I'm painting, I'm much more satisfied and fulfilled than if I'm not painting. So it's as simple as that. If you love to, you know, if you love to create, might be in the kitchen, so go get creating. And then we go through, there are three syndromes that women are affected by. One is the imposter syndrome. One is the Prince Charming syndrome that we talked a little bit about. And the other one is the bag lady syndrome, because there's at least...
They're not good syndromes, are they?
No, they're not. So the whole premise of my work is there are some very unpleasant things going on here, and we actually need to say, it's like soothing a child and patting the child on the shoulder and saying, it's okay, let's just have a look at this stuff and let's just be curious. So in the first instance, you don't need to do anything. All you have to do is sit with this stuff and see how and where it resonates for you. So this is the bag lady thing is another thing about normalizing our situation, because if you said to somebody, that you had an image in your head of the bag lady, they'd sort of look at you like you must have a problem. Well, I had an image of as a bag lady. Like I had an image in my head about bag ladies. I was going to end up a bag lady. Did I have any evidence for that? No. But I felt like I'd end up as a bag lady. Now, I talked about this at one point in time with somebody, and that made me curious. So I went and did more research, and it turns out that at least 50% of women have the image of the bag lady in their head. And the only way to deal with that image is to accept the fact that it's there. It's like the elephant in the room. We have to accept the fact that it's there, and then we need to see what can we do with this. And you can do a whole load of things. And you know, just going through some of the steps we already went through are the ways to manage the bag lady. Mm-hmm. Now, then we deal with things like scarcity and enoughness. So the majority of us have a scarcity mindset. And I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about we wake up and we say we don't have enough time. And we don't have enough time. I don't have enough support. I don't have enough skills. So we need to flip that into enoughness. Because if you can see what's going on in your life from the point of view of enoughness, once again, you'll be much more satisfied and happy. Yeah. We talk about safety. So a lot of women have a lot of fear around money and safety. So the safety issue, look, it could be with a partner who's financially abusive and who's doling out the money, like you said was your situation. But being positively, having a positive mindset about money with a desire to earn more can be affected by the issue of safety. So there are many, many women out there, and I include myself in this, there are many women out there who are frightened of being truly who they are and bringing in more money because their male partner, well, it doesn't even have to, I mean, the same thing in homosexual relationships. Yeah. Whoever is in the male role will be upset and threatened if we're doing too well. So a lot of women hold themselves back because they're worried about how it will impact their relationship, which is important to them. And I think that's a really serious issue. And I think it's once again, it's an issue that is affecting more than half of the women in the world. We're worried about how our love partner will feel if we're very successful. Now, I've worked through this, but this was the fear I had. I was genuinely, and I'm married to the nicest man on the planet, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Who says
it's not about the relationship now, it was about your mindset.
That's right.
But Virginia, we're running out of time. We're getting a bit low on time now. So if anybody else wants to know about the rest of your coaching, because I was finding that very interesting, actually, the steps you were going through there. If anyone wants to find out the rest of the information about that, the website you said, is it what was your website? I don't have your website down.
www.themoneyproject.net.
TheMoneyProject.net. Okay, no worries. I'll pop that into our list underneath this. But in that, I want to say thank you so much for that because that was really, really enjoyable. I wish we could have gone a bit longer, but I can't. I've got to stop the time. But what I'd love to do is just one last thing. You got one more thing you want to share with us before we go?
Money is a learnable skill. Investment is a learnable skill. Go forth and sparkle with money.
Woohoo! I love that. And it's so true. It is learnable. It's absolutely learnable. Anything almost is learnable. So we can do this. Thank you so much for being on the show. I want you to stay on because I want to chat with you in a minute, but I'll just do the closings and we'll go from there. Thank you, Virginia. That was great.
You're very welcome, Susan. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So that was wonderful, guys. Now, that's what you got to do. Remember, think, be awareness of it. You know, be compassionate to yourself. All those things that Virginia was saying, it is so easy to take on board other people's information and other people's beliefs and attitudes that we start to sort of put ourselves down and put ourselves in a position where we're blocking our money and we're blocking those things that are happening. But I've got to stop talking. Subscribe, like, do what you need to do. I've got to go because we're running out of time. All the very best, guys. See you next week and have a great one. Bye for now.